All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah. Woo! Sunday. Exciting. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. So we've been going through the book of Ruth on Sunday mornings in Sunday school. It's a little book, it's easy to read, it's got a good story. Lots of layers of application. Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. And I thought of a couple of titles for this. You're going to really be introduced to Boaz, a gracious man. So I thought about the gracious man. Or when grace met faithfulness. And that's another thing that happens in what we're about to read. Before we read, I'll say, you know, I thought about the way the Holy Spirit puts things together in the Scriptures. You know, if you're trying to help a nation, help people understand God's dealings and what He's looking for and the heart and things like that, and you have a nation like Israel that believes that because they've received some blessings from God, that they're automatically, I guess you could say, God's children, or they're automatically right with God just because they had received some blessings. And so to get that thought out of Israel's mind, like, you know, you have as a nation received blessings, but that doesn't make you right with God. And so to highlight what God is really looking for, he uses Gentiles, uses people who are outside of Israel, like Ruth, to show, look, this is what I'm looking for. And so I'm looking for it in my own people, within the nation of Israel. I'm looking for it with really anybody. I'm looking for faithfulness. I'm looking for the right heart. So Ruth, I mean, I'm surprised. Sometimes I'm surprised that some of the scribes and the Israelites left the book in here, because it doesn't really highlight them, other than, well, Boaz is a Jewish man, but Ruth, to be able to be included, that's an anomaly. That's different. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant, What that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field, that they do reap, and go thou after them. And have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto me, unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither, eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she said sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. She did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that they may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. All right, let's pray, and we'll talk about this gracious encounter here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. I thank you for each soul that's here this morning. And I do pray that we could get what we need out of these verses. And I know we're going through a book. Some folks are catching up in the middle here. But I pray it'd be profitable for everybody. And for the teachers in the back, I pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for Betty and all of the work that she does around here, and particularly breakfast this morning and really every Sunday morning. Thank you for all her help. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so verses 4 through 9. So here's to catch you up on the story. I think most of you know it, but to catch you up anyway, for those that don't. So Ruth has chosen to return to Judah with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and essentially she is leaving her own country, and she's choosing the God of Israel. She's choosing to help her mother-in-law, to take care of her mother-in-law, and to go back to Judah with Naomi. Now, Naomi's husband's dead, Naomi's two boys are dead, and one of Naomi's boys is Ruth's, or was Ruth's husband, and so of course, that makes Ruth the daughter-in-law and Naomi the mother-in-law, and that's how that relationship worked there. So Naomi and Ruth return to Judah, and Ruth is looking for a place to glean, to get some food for Naomi. Basically, she's going to be the caretaker of Naomi. And she's looking for food, and there is a rule in Israel for the farmers, for an agricultural law, that the farmers were supposed to leave some. They weren't supposed to harvest the entire field. They're supposed to leave some of the edges so that strangers and widows and orphans could eat, and they could gather on around the edges, basically the gleanings, what's outside there. And so there, that's what Boaz does. He owns land. He is a gracious man. He's a godly man. And he does exactly what the law prescribes. He allows strangers to come into his field. He allows widows and orphans to gather from the gleanings. And Ruth just happens to wander into Boaz's field. And Boaz is going to be related to Naomi and near kinsmen and all that. And that'll be more evident and more significant as we go on here. She's looking for a way to take care of Naomi. And she finds Boaz's field and gathers food. And apparently Ruth has been noticed by some of the reapers that work in Boaz's field. And she's made a request if she could gather some food, and been very gracious. And it's been noted that Ruth has taken care of Naomi, and she's going to take care of Naomi. And so that's been noted in Ruth's life, and noted by her decisions here, and by the reapers, the harvesters. And so Boaz takes note and hears about Ruth's devotion and dedication and love and just her good spirit, her right decisions. And so Boaz takes note of Ruth and tells Ruth, because of your decisions, because of your spirit, because of your behavior, your life and the way you've conducted yourself, this is something I want you to know. You can be taken care of in my field, and I'm going to make sure you're taken care of if you just stay in my field, and I will make sure you're taken care of. I will make sure your family, you and Naomi, are taken care of. That's where you're at here. So this is the interchange between Boaz and Ruth. And when Ruth finds out that the owner of the property is going to make a, not just the gracious, allow for the gracious, the gleanings in the field, but the owner of the property is going to make sure that Ruth can do this under his protection and under his watch. And if she needs anything along the way, he's going to make sure she has it. And he's going to, as you go on, he's going to make more provision than just the gleaning. She's going to be able to take home some of the harvest too. So it's going to be, that's the situation. So verses 4 through 9, we go back over here, verses 4 through 9. Boaz takes note of the stranger among his reapers and how she's labored the right way with the right heart, and he graciously invites Ruth to stay and glean in his field. He says he's instructed the reapers to allow strangers to glean. So apparently that's one of his instructions. He has to conduct his agricultural practices the way he wants to do it. And so he instructs his harvesters, you're supposed to leave some, according to the law, you're supposed to leave some of the field unharvested for strangers and widows. And so he's instructed them to do that. His reapers are under instruction not to mess with the women that come to glean. And he's also instructed his reapers to provide water. And so he tells Ruth that. And I don't know if this is just for specifically Ruth, but it sounds like it may be some general instructions, because just the character of Boaz and who he is sounds like this just may be the way he conducts business. But when he notes Ruth's particular case, he's very, very interested in Ruth. And so there's a little neat note about these reapers. Let's see. In, y'all remember Matthew, it's Matthew 13, 39. You remember the wheat and the tares? Remember that parable, the wheat and the tares? And you remember the reapers in the wheat and the tares? Who were the reapers in the wheat and the tares, that parable? The angels. They were angels. And so just a little kind of neat parallel, that the angels in the wheat and the tares parable that are the harvesters, essentially, and you correlate that back to Ruth here, angels are said to be ministering spirits in Hebrews. They're ministering spirits. And it's interesting the way Boaz treats the and instructs the harvesters in his field. He tells them to be ministering spirits. They're going to provide water. They're going to take care. They're going to protect. And so they're going to make sure that this stranger can get what she needs. And so just an interesting little correlation there about these two, the reapers in both the stories, the harvesters there. So Boaz does this. He asked Ruth, verse 8, we'll pick it up here. Boaz, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. The young men are the reapers, they're the harvesters. So they draw the water, and they're supposed to make sure she's going to be protected. They're not supposed to hurt her in any way. So Boaz invites Ruth to abide with him. And he says there's essentially three things that she's going to get if she'll stay in his field. Three things. Number one, he offers to supply her need. He offers to supply her need. I'll say something about that. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think it's applicable and something to be noted that sometimes we resent even having a need. Even having a need, where something happens in your life or someone else's life, and it's thought this isn't fair, this isn't right, and it's not fair and it's not right. And so sometimes in people's lives that need turns into resentment towards God. And so when the Lord says something like, "My God shall supply all your need," that implies there's going to be a need. Meaning he doesn't just take away needs. He allows needs to arise. And so when needs arise, don't get resentful toward God because there's a need that showed up. For instance, I mean, just the, I don't know, everything in the news is just bad news. It's just always bad news. But some of these things are so heartbreaking and so catastrophic that people get resentful toward God. And the Lord said, "Look, I will provide your need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Y'all know the verse. But the implication is he doesn't just take away needs, he supplies where the need shows up. So I don't know, something to think about. I mean, Ruth and Naomi could have blamed God for all this and it would be a whole different situation, and Ruth could have blamed God and it could have been a whole different situation. But that attitude does exist in Ruth. She understands they're here. I'm looking for grace. We need help. And so don't resent. I just say don't resent the fact that there are needs that show up. Needs happen. They're going to show up in life. And I think sometimes we get resentful when they show up. It's something that's troubling and it's painful and and it costs money. and so the right attitude is, I'm going to trust God with this need. I'm going to trust God, and either I'll find out it's not a need or he'll supply it one way or the other. But I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to get mad because I have a need. And that's understandable. Because I think people can get resentful toward God when a need, an actual need, shows up. Second thing is, so Boaz offers to supply her needs. He offers to give her water to drink. He offers to protect her. Those are two more things. He offers water along the way. He offers protection. And I'll give you a little cross-reference. Look in John chapter 15. It's a good little cross-reference to these verses in Ruth. John chapter 15. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. So Jesus says this in John 15:5. And think of Jesus and Boaz. Similarly, Boaz is a type of Christ. Here's what Jesus says. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." That's sounds like Boaz. If you stay in my field, you will be provided for. I will take care of you if you stay with me. Here's another one. Look in verse 7. "If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." That sounds like another Ruth and Boaz situation. Whatever you need, Ruth, you need water, you need protection, you need more food. I will make sure you're taken care of. One more time in verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So if applying it back to Ruth and Jesus Christ, applying it back to Ruth and Boaz, if Ruth decides to wander off into another field, then whatever Boaz promised to her, whatever Boaz said, you can have in my field, she loses that, right? She doesn't get that. She wanders off. Promises are in Boaz's field. And so there's some similarity there, the abiding, and that's what the invitation is with Boaz, to abide in the field. Stay in my field, and you have these promises. These things come with my protection and my provision and all that stuff. All right, so there's correlations. The virtuous soul, that's Ruth. She receives this personal invitation from Boaz, just like Jesus Christ invites souls to come to him and abide with him and partake of his inheritance and things like that. Second thing is this. After Ruth encounters Boaz, going back to Ruth chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Boy, that is, if you could encapsulate the attitude of a sinner coming to Jesus Christ, that's it. That is it right there. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Verse 12, great verse, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So Boaz is asked by Ruth, why in the world are you showing me such grace? What is it? What is it about me that makes you want to even consider my life? I'm an outsider. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. My country is against your country, and I show up here, and you've just laid out the red carpet for me. What is it? And then Boaz explains what it is. He says, I've heard of your faithfulness. I've heard of how you've chosen to take care of Naomi. I've heard of what happened after the death of your husband. I heard of what happened after the death of your father-in-law. I've heard of your decisions after that and your faithfulness. And those things in your life make me attracted to you as a person. They make me want to show you grace because of this faithfulness you've displayed. Where's the faith? Look in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, full reward be given thee of the Lord of God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to what? Trust. Trust. So all these decisions that Ruth has made up to this point, they can come down to and be distilled down into trust. It's a description of faithfulness. Now she said to Naomi, you know, your God will be my God, your people my people. Where you die, I'll die. Where you live, I'll live. And she has made herself the caretaker of Naomi. She's going to be dedicated to Naomi. And Boaz hears about this faithfulness, and that's what attracts him to her. So Boaz answers that it's her faithfulness, her dedication to Naomi, her trust in the God of Israel that has attracted him to her. And well, what about the fact that she's a Moabite? I mean, there's some, just stepping back, if you're an Israelite, if you're a Jew, there's some red flags with Naomi. I mean, she's a Moabite. That's not good, at least if you're Jewish. That's not good. Y'all's countries are at odds, and that's not good. So that's a red flag. But if you want to get down to the what is God looking for, and it's not racial, and it's not skin color stuff, it's not I would say religious stuff. He's looking for faithfulness. And that's the idea. The Lord God is no respecter of persons. And so, I mean, honestly, this is why I'm surprised some of these stories are in the Bible. It just makes it more clear the Bible is the Word of God, because some of these stories, it just seems like, I don't know, if you're a Jewish person writing this or trying to tell the story of God, you would never indict your nation like this. You would never say a stranger is more faithful than we are. That this stranger named Ruth was picked over people who are Israelites. And so, but that story is told here. So Boaz, he explains his attraction to Ruth. Is Ruth, what about the fact that she's a Moabite? Well, it's choosing the God of Israel trumps your nationality. If you choose the God of Israel, it doesn't matter what nation you come from. That's what he's looking for. Second, what does Ruth look like? Is she attractive? Is she not attractive? Do we know? You don't know. You know why you don't know? Because it doesn't matter. That's not the story God's telling. It doesn't matter what she looks like. What matters is faithfulness. That's what he's attracted to. So you're not told what color her eyes are, what color her hair is. It just doesn't make any difference. You know what God's children would say? God's children might say something like, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she'll be praised. That's attractive to God. And yeah, I mean, there's some other things you say about all that stuff. What about the fact that Ruth is poor? I mean, that's not attractive. But what does poor have to do with someone who loves God? Someone who's going to be faithful? Well, faithfulness trumps all that. The Bible says this, and I think God's children would say the same thing. Say, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness is the currency. So grace is attracted to faithfulness. And that's a theme that goes through the Bible. Grace is attracted to faithfulness, just like Laura said, without respect to persons. And that's true. That's true. So Boaz's attraction to Ruth is because of her, I guess you would say, spiritual qualities, which included her charitable care of Naomi, which included her turning from a Moabite god to the God of Israel, which included her leaving her father and mother and choosing the God of the nation of Israel. And notice this little phrase in verse 12. At the end of verse 12, Boaz says it this way, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's a cool little note there about the wings, but I'm going to show it to you in the New Testament. Look in Matthew chapter 23. Look what Jesus Christ says about this analogy. The wings of the God of Israel. Matthew chapter 23. And verse 37. So Ruth is a heathen who has come to trust under the wings of the God of Israel. Now, here's Jesus Christ talking about the nation, about Jerusalem specifically, really. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Indictment. That is a contrast that here's Jesus Christ, and you know Jesus Christ is a lot of times the voice in the Old Testament. He's the one speaking out of heaven. And so he said over and over, he said, I would have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you wouldn't. My people wouldn't do that. The people that I specifically blessed with the law and specifically gave light to and specifically made them into a nation unlike any other nation in the world. And I tried to gather them up and they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Contrast that with this heathen, this Moabite. And she does it. And what's interesting is she does this, and it's almost like she's, I don't want to say she doesn't know she's doing it, because she does know. She's making a decision to trust the God of Israel, but she's her end goal is to take care of Naomi. That's what she's trying to do. And so the contrast of Ruth versus Israelites, it's quite an accusation there, or quite a comparison. So Boaz's attraction to Ruth because of her spiritual qualities, her charitable care for Naomi, turning from Moabite idols to Israel's God, leaving her home, choosing Naomi's home, living with Naomi, caretaking Naomi, all that stuff. And so the chapter follows this theme, and it really does if you step back and look at it. It follows this theme that grace is attracted to faith. It follows that theme. And you find out, this is where I think we have trouble with some of this stuff, is when you hear Paul say in Ephesians, by grace through faith, your immediate thought is Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ. However, grace shows up all through the Old Testament. And faith shows up through the Old Testament. And that's what Hebrews 11 is. Here's by faith, by faith, by faith. And you know what every single person in Hebrews 11 is? They're Old Testament people. So by faith, or by grace through faith, is a relationship that God has with people. And so when he finds people who are faithful living by faith or faithful people, I guess you could say, that trumps everything else. Remember we spent a lot of time in Matthew, but you remember every time some heathen person showed up to Jesus Christ and said, I need help. And Jesus Christ responded. Even though he said, well, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even though he said, sends out the apostles, lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then Matthew records over and over. Matthew records Gentiles showing up. He records wise men from the east showing up. He records this Syrophoenician lady who has her daughter healed. The point is, he's highlighting a relationship. Look, this is the relationship, and this is what I'm trying to get out of you. I'm trying to get faithfulness out of you. I can't get it out of my own people. I'm trying to get faithfulness out of people. And so this theme, it really follows the theme. And it's not just a theme that's isolated in the book of Ruth or isolated in one part of the Bible. It's really a relationship God seeks with people. So that all said, then this happens. it's interesting. If you want to consider the time frame in all this, Ruth shows up at a time when Israel's been given a law. Israel's in the promised land, and Israel is supposed to be enjoying the blessings of God, but it's a time when judges rule, the Bible says. And in that time, in Israel's time under Mosaic law and in the promised land, the Lord highlights, look, here is a person who displays faithfulness. That's what I'm looking for. What is the indictment that God has against the nation of Israel over and over in the prophets? Anybody know? They're unfaithful. They won't be faithful. They will not be faithful to God. And so This really is it's just a small story of a bigger picture of what God's looking for. So the last thing is this, in these few verses. Last thing is this. Boaz says, Lord, recompense thy work. And then Ruth, what's the reward going to be for Ruth? What's the reward? Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. She finds comfort. And that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. She finds a friend. And Boaz is a legitimate friend. He's a legitimate friend. Why? Because he's going to take care of her. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids, that's Ruth talking about verse 13, Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. All right, just y'all all know it's like chips and salsa, you know. You just, I think every culture has their form of bread and dip. It's every culture has it. So mealtime, dip thy morsel in the vinegar, and she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, kind of a weird way of saying she got what she needed. She's satisfied. She's full. She did eat and was sufficed and left. Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, this is going to be different. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. You know what's different about that? That's the harvest. That means you're not just going to get the corners of the field. But I want to make sure you go home with everything you need for you and Naomi. So let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You know what Boaz is doing? He's making sure she goes home with everything she needs. Not just the corners of the field, but Boaz said, look, I'm taking note of the care you're taking with Naomi. I've watched you. I see your character. He'll say later she is a virtuous woman, and everybody knows it. And so the gracious man's reward is as follows. He speaks comfortably to her. He's going to be a friend to her. He's going to feed Ruth from his table. And he's going to go even beyond the law of Israel, which said don't harvest the corners of the field. Now he's going to tell her, not only can you glean, but I'm going to make sure there's going to be some left for you on purpose. I'm going to make sure you can partake of the harvest that's my harvest. And so all of this said, why does he do this? Why does Boaz do this? Because Ruth possesses qualities that Boaz finds endearing. This is someone who is endearing to Boaz. So Ruth is allowed to gather among the sheaves, which are more than just gleanings. It's the actual harvest. And she's allowed to gather what's been left on purpose for her. And so here's the last verse says this in this little section. It says, so she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And I thought, what in the world is an ephah? Is that a lot? Or is that, I mean, based on what I'm reading, it's probably going to be a lot. So I went back and looked at a couple of cross-references, and I'll just give them to you real quick. So in Exodus chapter 16, verse 36, one omer, the measurement of an omer, would feed one person for one day. An ephah is 10 omers. So it would feed one person for 10 days or two people for 5 days. And so when Ruth goes home, she has enough food probably for her and Naomi for about a week. So she got groceries for a week now. She got groceries for a week. So Ruth gathers maybe 5 to 7 days worth of food for her and Naomi. And her work is rewarded with the ability to keep whatever she can carry with her. And that's the idea. That's the idea, is when you read all this, what Ruth takes home, essentially Boaz has said, whatever you can carry home, you can take. Whatever you can carry, you can have. And so she takes home enough for her and Naomi for about a week. And it illustrates another little principle here. When Boaz gives her just whatever you can take home, I remember this phrase that Jesus said several times when he was dealing with people. He said, be it according to your faith. Whatever you brought to the table, whatever you bring, I'm going to fill it up. I'm going to make sure it's overflowing. I'm going to make sure you get the full measure of whatever you brought to the table, and I'm going to send you home full. And so he'll say, Jesus Christ will say over and over, be it according to thy faith. Well, the blind men, they want to see. Be it according to thy faith. That's what I want. I want to be able to see. There is, Renee, I think your car is going off. That thing goes off all the time. So the last thing, just to wrap it up here. Be it according to thy faith. Ruth is allowed to take home whatever she can take home. And Boaz is going to make sure that she has everything she needs. And so this is the gracious man's reward. He just meets it out according to, you could say according to your faith. He meets it out according to, I've heard it. It's like you need a wheelbarrow full, then he'll fill up the wheelbarrow. You want a thimble, bring a thimble, he'll fill up the thimble. But whatever it is you brought, whatever your need is, whatever you bring to the table, the Lord's gonna, he wants to fill it up. And that's with Ruth here. Be it according to thy faith. Boaz has essentially said, you can have whatever you're willing and able to carry home. You can have it. And that is, that's like Jesus Christ. Really like Jesus Christ. So Boaz, he's going to be a great type of Jesus Christ. Ruth, a believer, someone who is faithful, someone who has received grace from the householder there, and just the grace, where grace and faithfulness meet, that's the rewards here. So let's pray. We'll wrap this one up. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray it's been helpful. Just there's a lot of layers. I pray it's been profitable. Pray we can learn our Bibles and get what we need out of this, and really learn what you're looking for. This is what you're looking for, and I mean, like we mentioned earlier, just not be resentful of the needs that arise in our lives, because if you're going to supply needs, that means there's going to be a need. And so I pray we would have the right attitude about those things. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.